Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an entrepreneur and financial specialist, Henry Schoenberger, the author of a new book, How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, The 30-Year War Against the American Dream. We will discuss the great swindle now going on in plain sight every time you fill up at the gas pump, where in spite of a global oversupply of oil, prices are being driven up by Wall Street speculators, while our press and politicians distract us with rumors of war and lame excuses. Then we will be joined in the studio by the filmmakers of an epic documentary feature, Shadows of Afghanistan, 1959 to 2012, which tells the story of the modern history of Afghanistan, where we have been engaged in America's longest war and still know little about this country and its people. Producer-directors Jim Burrows and Suzanne Berman join us. Then finally, we will discuss what more is at stake in Syria other than the fate of a dictator and the lives of its people trying to overthrow the Assad regime. And that is the fate of Responsibility to Protect, or R2P, at the United Nations, where, under its charter's state sovereignty provision, nothing can be done to stop the Syrian government from killing its people. A former policy analyst in the Bureau of Politico Military Affairs at the Department of State, Bennett Ramberg, joins us. He has an article at Politico, "The World Must Stop Syrian Slaughter." And joining us now is Henry Schoenberger, who's an entrepreneur, financial specialist, writer, and author. His books include Invest for Success, How to Avoid Getting Ripped Off by Real Estate Partnerships, the Stock Market, and Diversification. And his latest book just out is How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, The 30-Year War Against the American Dream. Welcome to Background Briefing, Henry Schoenberger.
Well, I'm lucky to be here.
And it seems, though, in terms of your new book, How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, we're getting swindled today. I mean, every time you pull up at the pump, you're paying for the Wall Street speculators who are really behind the high price of gas. It's not the fear premium from a threat of war with Iran in the Middle East. It's absolutely unequivocally what's happening is Wall Street speculation. Between 80 and 90% of the futures contracts for oil and gas are being bought by speculators, not by the end users like refineries and airlines.
Absolutely.
Why isn't this being discussed?
Well, it's just more of the same. The real core problems are not being discussed in this country. I think a lot of members of the media are earnest, but they don't know enough about some of these things, and then they have culprits from the past, economists that were cheerleaders for greed. They have them on as experts, and they might know a lot, but they also were paid consultants to Wall Street and bribed them, basically as a bribe. And, I mean, Greenspan is one of the leading culprits. Wrote about financial instruments, how it was going to be a terrific thing for this for our economy, and he had to know that was a lie. And so we're still in the same moment where Wall Street circulates ruses to justify sociopathic greed, basically. And I've written about this in a number of chapters in the book. I mean, I've even detailed, there's something called the Commodities Futures Modernization Act, which Clinton signed into law. It was attached to an 11,000-page, I think it was called an omnibus appropriation bill. And, I mean, that basically allowed the kinds of trades that are being done in oil futures to be conducted without anybody seeing them. But even if somebody does see them, who is going to control it? I mean, the financial reform and the Volcker Rule and the things that are in there are meaningless because it's talking about improving compliance, and the SEC has not stopped all the illegal financial innovation that's been contrived to create fees. That's illegal under certain specific regulations that the SEC has, as well as the Fed Bank Holding Company regulations. Illegal. And I specified what the actual regulations are that were violated and explained simply why it constitutes a violation of law and why it's illegal. Fraud. But when Wall Street makes this kind of money, and there's so much money going into the government to get people reelected, I guess that's, you know, the fundamental problem. And you know, to go back to the oil and gas, you're exactly right. Exactly right.
Well, but what it shows, and this is a pattern that goes back to the subprime meltdown, Henry Schoenberger, is that Wall Street has created its own little world, its own little rules, its own little private casinos where only the super wealthy can get to gamble. But they do so at the expense of the average American citizen. And when the gambling gets out of hand and the greed overwhelms them all, then they go bust. The poor beleaguered taxpayer then bails them out. I mean, it's an extraordinary situation, and I just don't understand how incredibly passive the American people are, that maybe it's that they just don't realize every time they go to the gas station lately, they're contributing to these parasites on Wall Street.
Well, they are, and I can't understand. I'm confounded by all, by how passive people are, but I also do believe that a lot of people, Americans really are not very well informed. Americans don't. I mean, I've got two really bright daughters. They wouldn't take economics. I force-fed them something that Lester Thoreau and Robert Heilbronner read, making Economics Simple, which should be required reading for everybody in this country. It's a terrific book. He was the dean of economics at MIT. But I think the bottom line is, I wrote about this in my book too. We allow language to shape our thoughts instead of use it to elicit thought, which is what it's supposed to be used for. And so people somehow just accept credentials, or if somebody is really wealthy, they listen to what they have to say rather than stopping to think about it. So I think maybe critical thought is missing in our country, in this country. I don't know how it is in Australia or how it is in England, but I cannot understand how people can just roll over and take this without getting mad.
Again, I'm speaking with Henry Schoenberger, the author of the new book, How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, The 30-Year War Against the American Dream. And you're suggesting...
Wait, Ian, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
One thing is, you're exactly right. If people can't get what's going on from what's going on with gas prices, how are they going to focus on the idea that there could be $700 trillion of derivatives looming over our economy, like a hydrogen bomb, or maybe over the world? And there is a distinction between, this is something else I talk about in my book, and you're actually right on the mark on this thing, that the speculation doesn't create any real investment. It doesn't create anything positive except fees for the speculators. And so since 1987, I started talking about it, we have turned from real investment to financial investment. Financial investment only creates fees for the people who are speculating. Real investment creates capital formation, which does do things for the economy. It does create jobs. And Wall Street formerly used to, fund companies that were startups to create, real capital formation. It hasn't done that for I don't know how long.
Well, in general, I think in a broad sense, what's happening, and I think you could argue that American capitalism is in crisis because it's the financial sector is over 40% of the total economy, and the financial sector, the Wall Street casinos, basically are all about extracting wealth, not creating wealth, which was, of course, the original idea of capital formation and investment.
You're exactly right. Exactly right.
So your new book, How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, The 30-Year War Against the American Dream, it takes the position that we have a kind of financial version of social Darwinism out there, financial Darwinism,
right.
And it's based upon the notion of survival of the richest.
Right. Well, the foreword was written by David Satterfield, who formerly was the business editor of the Miami Herald and has two Pulitzers. And then after that, he became the managing editor of, I think it's called the Mercury News, which is more in your neighborhood.
San Jose, yeah.
Yeah, and then he left journalism because he became, I don't want to quote David, but there just aren't a lot of people left in the print media that are really investigative financial journalists that really know what's wrong, and then the newspapers don't even want to print it.
They don't want
to alarm the public, maybe because they're dependent on banks. I really don't understand how, where the Fourth Estate, I mean, as you well know, the mission of the Fourth Estate, which is the press, the media, is to objectively create informed public opinion. And so I think there's also been a breakdown of the Fourth Estate's role in this process of creating objective public opinion.
Well, it's just incomprehensible to me, though, that the gasoline story, which is being presented every day on local news and in the press, and it's all, a kind of sleight of hand, a distraction. First of all, the context is never mentioned that OPEC says that there's a worldwide glut, a surplus of supply.
Because people are using less gas because they don't have enough money to pay for it.
And we also have the same condition in the United States.
Right.
And that, furthermore, American oil companies are exporting more gasoline than they ever have.
Right.
Those are the external conditions. And then you say to yourself, well, how come, if that's the situation, gas should be an all-time low, and then why is it high? Well, because of Iran. And people just are satisfied with that explanation. I spoke with the former head of markets and trading at the Commodities Future Trading Commission just the other day.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he's in his professional life. He's been there, done it. And he says it's all about speculation. It happened before, back in summer of 2008, when gasoline got up to the $147 a barrel.
Right.
And 60 Minutes blew the whistle on that one. And it turns out that Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase and these other banks had more oil than Exxon has ever had in its existence.
They
have tankers going around in circles. Now you have...
waiting for the price to go up.
So this is an amazing scandal, yet, you know, who the hell's talking about it?
But you know what this also shows this country, if they want to think about it? It shows that there is no protection for consumers. The SEC is worse than morally bankrupt. Mary Shapiro ran the NESD. I owned a broker dealer. I have a licensing. If I said this before, I apologize. I have a Series 39 license from the SEC. I've had it for years. I have a licensing of a compliance officer. They do not protect the public. They protect the markets, which means the market makers, which means the wealthiest people on the street who want to just have a huge velocity of computer trades or highly speculative. Highly speculative endeavors to make money. Period.
So, and why did Obama appoint Mary Shapiro?
Well, as you can imagine, I am not a Tea Party person, and there is no way I would vote for any one of these idiots in the Republican primary or like that. But why did he do that? I don't know, and I talked about that in the book. It doesn't make sense that he would have appointed culprits from the past. Geithner didn't do anything specifically wrong, but he did participate in making the investment banks bank holding companies as the president of the Fed, which made him the vice chairman of the Fed nationally. I mean, he put that through. And the president of the Fed was a former management committee member. I don't remember exactly what, and I don't remember the guy's name. I have all these names in my head. Was a top guy at Goldman. Paulson was an ex-CEO from Goldman. Rubin, who was with I think Secretary of Treasury under Clinton, was an ex-CEO from Goldman. And then Rubin joined Greenberg at Citi to petition the government to deregulate. So, I mean, the real problem is you cannot unlock greed and let it out of its cage. You can't be a compliance officer and control greed, and they haven't done much of a job anyway. And I've even quoted what Mary Shapiro says is the mission of the SEC, and that's to protect the markets. But that is code for protecting the pockets of Wall Street people.
Instead of being the cop on the beat, which is the original intention of
the original intention,
of
which
the
is
SEC.
Why they appointed Joe Kennedy to be the first guy in charge of the SEC.
And then even under Bush, Donaldson was doing a good job, but then Bush probably got pressure from Wall Street to get rid of him, and he brought in Christopher Cox, who was a complete catastrophe.
Oh.
And then you had the 2008 crash, and then you'd think after that they'd bring in a real cop on the beat, but instead Obama appoints Mary Shapiro.
Yeah, I think Donaldson did have ethics.
Yeah, he did. While this is all happening, thousands of or hundreds of FBI agents trained in white-collar crime after 9/11 are diverted to chasing terrorists. And thus we have the Bernie Madoffs and others like that running free. You mentioned a little while ago, Henry, this huge looming derivatives balloon that's out there, the other 900-pound gorilla in the living room after the speculation that's driving up the price of gas.
Right.
I recall that Warren Buffett some years back referred to derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction. I take it you agree with that?
I could not agree with that more.
So what's the ticking bomb then? Tell us about that.
Well, the ticking bomb is that if you have... one P under a pod. Shell game? This is is my explanation in the book, and it's hard to explain something that isn't real. If you have one pea and then you've got 40 more shells on top of that one pod, that one pea, based on the value of that one pea, ostensibly, and if one little hiccup happens with that pea, the whole damn thing falls. It's an inverted pyramid. And so, basically, the value that is underlying all of its derivative is something that's a function of something else. Sort of hard to explain when you turn it into an investment, which is BS. But the bottom line is, one little hiccup in the virtual value, like the housing market not going up 1% every year, starting to fall. Boom, there it goes. And it wasn't just houses that did this. All kinds of debt. And let me ask you a question. I mean, you know a lot about financial stuff. How can you call something collateral when it's not collateral that any bank in the world would accept? And yet all of these things are supposedly collateralized by additional debt that can't even be measured, all different kinds of debt, not just Freddie and Fannie debt, but other tranches full of debt. Now, how is it legal to call something collateral when it's not collateral?
It's a form of alchemy, isn't it?
Well, it's a form of alchemy. My first book, I talked about how all the people with PhDs in finance were trying to turn lead into gold.
Well, tell me what can be done, and I know your book deals with this, Henry Schoenberger, again, the author of How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, the 30-Year War Against the American Dream, because it seems so overdue that we should have a national debate and not about birth control and homeschooling and the insanity that's going on in the Republican campaign at the moment, but really talk about whether we're still a democracy, whether we've become a plutonomy ruled by financial oligarchs and, you know, inherited wealth and hedge funds people. And they've even got the gall to run one of their own as for president.
Right. Disgusting.
Mitt Romney, who's an archetype of what we've been talking about. What's
Absolutely.
Wrong with American capitalism? He's one of these extraction specialists who just strip companies bare, takes huge fees, and the people left running these companies have no room to maneuver because they've got this looming debt, which is largely to do with the money that was borrowed to do the leverage buyout in the first place. And then on top of that, all of the profits go into fees for Mitt Romney and his time for years and years. And guess what? They only pay 15% tax on it.
Right. Well, Mitt Romney is the kind of venture capitalist or equity investor that makes the guys who are trying to start companies and trying to produce capital formation look lousy. I mean, there are some people out there that really are trying to form new companies. And of course, that means more jobs and more security for people and a better economy. But, I wrote the book because people just don't seem to understand what's going on. And since I'm inside this, and I have no guilt to confess because I've never recommended financial instruments, somebody had to say something. I wrote a book about it in 1990, so I decided, well, I guess it's going to have to be me. And I did was actually major in econ by accident and believe some of the stuff I learned in the early 60s and watched it and watched people destroy it because it worked. Now, if you're asking me what we need to do, first of all, Americans need to know more. They have to arm themselves with enough knowledge to understand how they're getting screwed by the oil prices. But I think Americans really need to know a little bit more, which is why I wrote my book. And then the next thing is, you cannot get greed to comply with Volcker rules or any of the kind of strange, fallacious approach to allowing market makers to continue to speculate in financial investments which don't produce anything productive and that take capital out of the capital formation process, as you've explained.
Well, but could we have a situation, though, where we have a kind of, maybe this is a fantasy, but have some kind of citizens' tribunal where the very people who are getting gouged at the pump and at a kitchen table through this a license to steal through the commodities exchange that, by the way, the index was developed by Goldman Sachs. It's called the Goldman Sachs Index.
Of course.
So
what else is new? They've infiltrated the government for 30 years.
But the notion, though, that the educational process should be to put these Wall Street titans and the American oligarchs on trial and have them justify what they do in terms of societal good. And what is the purpose of what they're doing? The purpose of what they're doing is to make themselves richer. And that's what your thesis is, right? It's financial Darwinism, survival
right.
of the richest.
That's right. It is financial Darwinism. And the reason why it's not social Darwinism is because you're not calling the troops to come and shoot people who are striking for a little bit more money, as Andrew Carnegie did in 1892 when he had a steel strike, and he called the National Guard. They sent 8,000 people or 8,000 troops, and six people wound up shot and dead. And that, of course, stopped the union movement. Then the union movement, you know, got a little carried away, too, where the union bosses might have been equally as bad as some of the big bosses of companies. And the union movement sank backwards a little bit. But still, the only way an individual can make manifest their needs and wants is through a collectivity. So, I mean, if you're saying that we should have a citizens' council set up, what a great idea. How are you going to figure out who should be on the council?
Well, I'm just wondering.
If they only pick people that have PhDs in econ, and economics happens to be, as I'm sure you know, a philosophy. It's not a science. All the quadrants turns people off. All the math, it turns people off. There are some postulates that make sense. Certainly not laissez-faire and maximize. Well, the other problem, too, is not just unfettered greed. It's also the theory of the profit of maximization left over from a guy named Schumpeter that was picked up by the social Darwin guy that had nothing to do with Darwin at all. But it was picked up by a guy named Herbert Spencer in the late 19th century to give a moral ethic to the robber barons to be sociopathic, greedy people. It gave them their ethic to survive.
Well, and Ron Paul's a great follower of him, and you can throw Ayn Rand into the mix as well. So again, though, Henry Schoenberger, I know the idea of a citizens' tribunal is pie in the sky, but I'm trying to figure out a way to burst this bubble that the public is in the thrall of wealthy people in this country, but they don't realize that we've created a kind of parasitic system where the wealthy are extracting wealth for themselves at the expense of everybody else and of the expense of the overall U.S. economy.
Ian, I got to stop you. That's a perfect description. Parasites.
Well, but that's...
That's perfect. And why do we allow that? Because people swallow propaganda from Wall Street. We have the wrong people in the media that don't know what you know. We need more people in the media like you. Satterfield knows too. He got out. I don't know who in the press says is as knowledgeable as you are and says what you're saying. And I read all this. I think Chris Hayes on Up with Chris Hayes is a very smart young guy. I mean, you know, and I think the people on MSNBC care. Some of them know more than others. But I think the real problem is a lack of education, maybe. Maybe, what do you think? Elementary school, high school, people need to know a little bit about how to protect themselves from parasites?
Well, but you bring up the American dream. The subtitle of your book is The 30-Year War Against the American Dream.
Right.
So the real inquisition that should take place in the Citizens' Tribunal is in defense of the American dream and in defense of whether we have, as a people, have a delusional ideology and ethos and mystique and myth that we live by, that through hard work you can attain the American dream. After all, it's in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness. And you cannot pursue happiness if the game is rigged against you.
You can't. And also Jefferson said, he didn't say, I'm paraphrasing him, that the role of government is to protect the public. The government's supposed to get involved when the public needs to be protected. And where's the government been? You know, all of these things are coming to the forefront. This is the second worst economy since 1776. And regardless of whether the media is talking about, well, the unemployment's down a little bit, what is real unemployment? What's really happening? How many lives have really been devastated by what's going on? And, obviously this upsets me, and I can tell it upsets you, too. And we need more people who are on the air all the time and who write about it. We just do.
Well, Henry, I thank you for joining us here today.
All right. Thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate it, too.
Again, Henry Schoenberger is an entrepreneur, financial specialist, writer, and author. His books include Invest for Success, How to Avoid Getting Ripped Off by Real Estate Partnerships, The Stock Market, and Diversification. And his latest book just out is How We Got Swindled by Wall Street Godfathers, Greed and Financial Darwinism, The 30-Year War Against the American Dream. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking with the filmmakers of a new documentary about the history of Afghanistan.